Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with The Gentiles Will Hear. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We are studying the flow of truth and how it relates to Acts chapter 28 and verse 28. It has been my conviction for 35 years that this passage is an important dividing line in God's work. The last dividing line separating his works in the past from his current work today. Therefore, it becomes critical that we understand it. And that understanding depends on understanding four important words: salvation, sent, Gentiles, and here. Now, while these might be quote-unquote easy words in English, to understand what the Spirit meant by them, we need to study them in the language the Spirit was writing in, which was Greek. Now, we already saw that salvation in Greek is an adjective, soterion, and it means salvation-bringing. And in the context, it refers to the salvation-bringing message of God, or word of God, or utterance of God, or declaration of God, or gospel of God. This is the subject of this sentence. Something was done with the salvation-bringing message. What? Well, that's the verb, which in Greek is apostello. And it connects to apostolos, which is the noun we often have translated apostle, and it means one sent or commissioned with authority. Now, when used of animals or inanimate objects, it means to grant or allow by proper authority, or to authorize. So this is what happened to the salvation-bringing message. It was made available without restrictions. So the next question we must ask is, to whom was it authorized? As we continue studying Acts 28:28, which in the New King James Version reads, "Therefore let it be known unto you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." So we already discussed that salvation is the salvation-bringing message. Sent means authorized, made available without restrictions. But what does the word Gentiles mean? Now this is, in the singular, the Greek word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S. And ethnos here is in the plural. It's preceded by the definite article, the, and it's in the dative case, plural, neuter. Now, it is evident, for anyone who studies it out, that all scholars, lexicographers, and commentators agree that the word ethnos means nation. Now, they all agree on this, even though they feel that at times it signifies those who are not of Israel, and that it should be in such places rendered Gentile. But understand that when they do this, that is an interpretation, not a translation. The translation of ethnos is nation. And to decide that means a nation besides the Jews and translate it Gentile is a matter of interpretation and not translation. And our supposed Bible translators step outside the realm of translation into the realm of interpretation when they render the word ethnos as Gentile. Now, it is true, without a doubt, that there are passages in the Word of God where the phrase in Greek, the nations, includes the nation of Israel. And in such passages, to translate it, the Gentiles, would exclude the nation of Israel improperly. For an example of this, consider Matthew 12, verses 18 through 21, which is quoting the Old Testament regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:18 says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." Now, can there really be any doubt here that the Lord Jesus Christ will declare justice not just to the Gentiles, but also to the nation of Israel? That is, that he will declare justice to the nations and not just the Gentiles. Then verse 19, he will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. And again, can there be any doubt but that nations are going to trust in his name, and those nations will include the nation of Israel? I think there's no doubt that in verses 18 and 21 of Matthew chapter 12, this is talking about the nations. And it includes Israel. And it is simply not right to translate this word, ethnos, or the plural, as Gentiles in this passage. Now in Acts 28:28, what this reads in Greek is tois ethnason. That's T-O-I-S. That's the word the, plural. And then E-T-H-N-E-S-I-N. And that is nations in the plural dative form. And so this should be translated to the nations, the two coming from the dative. Now, since it is evident from an examination of verses like Acts 10 and verse 36 and Acts 13 and verse 26 that God's salvation-bringing message had been authorized to Israel since the day of Pentecost, Israel cannot be included in the nations in this passage. Therefore, by interpretation, no, not by translation, but by interpretation, this can be read to the Gentiles, and no damage would be done to the truth. Paul is not announcing in Acts 28:28 that the salvation-bringing message of God has been authorized to all nations, since it had already been authorized to Israel long before this. So we do not include Israel here. Therefore, we can render it to the Gentiles here, and no damage will be done, and it will be a little easier to understand. Now understand that when any Jew heard the term the nations back in Christ's day, he was forced to do a quick bit of mental work to determine if the nation of Israel was to be included or not. Now he could do that almost automatically. We often do that with words whenever we hear anyone speaking, and we hear a word, we do a quick bit of mental work to decide what that person means by that word in the context. And it's very easy for us when it's our own language and an obvious context. But when we're doing it here so much later, and we're not Jews and we're not in the situation they're in, we can only determine if Israel is to be included in the term the nations or not by careful thought and careful study. Now here, if we apply careful thought and careful study to Acts 28:28, we determine that the term the nations does not include Israel, since what Paul declares here was already true of Israel. And now he is expanding it to make it true of all nations. Now it's not that it excludes Israel, of course. It was already true of Israel, it was just now adding all other nations to this truth. What had been true only of Israel now becomes true of all the other nations. And that is what Paul is telling us here. The salvation-bringing message of God that had already been authorized to Israel was now authorized, made freely available, without restrictions, to all the other nations as well. Then he says, they will hear it. And this is the next important word we need to consider. Akouo, A-K-O-U-O. And you could put a line over that second O to indicate it is the omega, the long O, and not the omicron, the small O, like the first one is. And a long O at the end of the word almost indicates that it's a verb. And it is here, certainly a verb. Now that akouo means to hear cannot be questioned. But the question that does arise is, what does hear mean in this context? Now if each of the 437 occurrences of this word akouo in the New Testament are considered, we will get the connection that this word often means getting through to a person. For example, consider Matthew 18 and verse 15, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now in this context, hear means if you get through to him, you have gained your brother. Now, as a rule, hearing is related to the ear. Yet one can also be said to have heard what he has read. You know, if you can say, I've heard that, and you can mean you read it, and you wouldn't be lying, you'd be telling the truth. In Acts 28:28, they will hear it means it will get through to them. And that is God's guarantee in this passage made by his spokesman, Paul. So having examined these four important words in Acts 28:28, I will now attempt to make a literal, honest translation of Acts 28:28, trying not to paraphrase, just to translate. And that translation would be, let it then be made known unto you that the salvation-bringing message of God has been authorized to the nations. And what is more, they will hear it, meaning it will get through to them. Now that is a literal, honest translation as best as I can make it. But if I were to go on from there and expand and amplify it into a paraphrase, attempting to express the same truth in a paraphrase, my expanded and amplified paraphrase would read like this. Let it then be known unto you that the salvation-bringing message of God, that gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, has been authorized, that is, made freely available to the nations, that is, the Gentiles, and what is more, it will get to them for their benefit. Let me repeat that. This truth is so important, I want to repeat it. Here again is the expanded and amplified paraphrase of Acts 28:28. Let it then be known unto you that the salvation-bringing message of God, that gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, has been authorized, that is, made freely available to the nations, that is, the Gentiles, and what is more, it will get to them for their benefit. Now those words, has been authorized, declare an accomplished fact. The words, they will hear it, or it will get through to them, it will get to them for their benefit. These words declare a future effect, something that is yet to be realized. Now, the former tense of has been authorized is the second aorist, and the latter tense, they will hear it, is the future tense. Now, the aorist tense in Greek is not the past, as many try to make it. This authorizing of the salvation-bringing message did not happen many years before because it's in the past. That isn't right. This is not the past. It is indefinite as far as time is concerned. It states a fact without any reference to time. Now, we know verb tenses in English. And if you were asked to list the tenses, you'd probably easily list the past, the present, and the future. Now, if we were to try to go beyond that, people would have some difficulty, since there you're getting involved in grammar. But the Greeks had a tense that is called the aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T. And we have a great deal of difficulty making the aorist plain, since we have no such tense. Now, as an English illustration of what the aorist is like, we could take the phrase, he cleansed me, and that's past. But if we were to make that, he has cleansed me, we would call that the perfect tense. And in reference to God, it states something he did that continues right to the present time. He not only did it, but that work of cleansing continues, and I am clean today. Now, if God simply cleansed me, he did it, but whether it continues or not is open to question. Yet if we say, he has cleansed me, that means he not only did it, but that work continues, and I am clean today. Now, we can't always do that in English. And if you'll try that same thing with some other words, some other verbs, you'll run into difficulty. But that is what the aorist tense is like. It declares a fact without any reference to time. So it's not telling us this took place long before. And this verse, I believe, declares a dispensational change, Acts 28:28. And the dispensational change that took place at Acts 28:28 is stated in the words, has been authorized to the Gentiles. Now, some will deny that this is any change at all. They'll say, oh, there's nothing new in this statement. Why, after all, over and over, time and time again, in the book of Acts, Paul would go to the Jews first and carry the gospel. And when they did not believe, he turned to the Gentiles. And he's just doing the same thing in Acts 28:28 in Rome as he did in these other places. Now, statements such as these reveal an ignorance of the true character of the Acts period and the ministry carried on by God's messengers at that time. Without understanding these things, the full force and meaning of Acts 28:28 will never be understood. So for our next study, we are going to lay the foundation for understanding this Acts 28:28 dispensational change. Now consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Luke describes his gospel in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 as the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And the gospel of Luke is an account of what Jesus began to do and teach until the day of his ascension. And so we understand that the Lord's work while he was on earth set the stage for all that was done in the Acts period. And therefore, the Lord's work in the gospel period demands careful consideration. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry declared certain truths that caused many of his disciples to turn back from following him. We read that in John 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, their defection caused him to turn to the 12 and ask, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter became the spokesman and responded in John 6:68 through 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, when Peter said this, he was entirely right. There was only one person upon the earth at that time who could utter a message that one, by believing, could get the guarantee of eternal life. Now, no one at that time could turn from the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Oh, I don't care for him. I'm going to go to the Old Testament instead, God's Word. And there I'll look to find God speaking something to me that can bring me a guarantee of life." No, no one could do that. From the moment Christ began his ministry, no one could turn from him to the Old Testament and think to find God speaking to him there and find a message there that would give him eternal life. Peter was entirely right. While the Lord was on earth, only he had the words of aeonian life. Now, before this time of John 6, the Lord had commissioned his 12 as heralds. In Matthew 10 and verse 1, we read, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." So the Lord gave them power, and that word is not the word for inherent power. It's the word for authority, delegated authority. He gave them the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. Now, if the Lord had given me that authority, I could do it as well as anyone. But he has not given me, you, or anyone else that authority today. Now understand, his giving them that authority was not based on their holiness or piety. For as we read in Matthew 10 and verse 4, Judas Iscariot was included in this number. And Judas was no super saint. No, he was not even a believer. He ended up rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and betraying him. And yet the Lord gave him this authority, and so he had it. Now in Matthew 10 and verse 5, we read that these 12 Jesus sent out. And that is the Greek word apostello. These 12 Jesus commissioned and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So the Lord Jesus barred them from taking any highway that would lead them to the Gentiles or to a Samaritan city. He commanded them only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And notice that very important restriction. Verse 7, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So here the Lord Jesus Christ limited their message to a call to submission. That's what the word repent means. Metanoeo, it means submit. And this was because the kingdom of the heavens was at hand. Verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So as they went out proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they were basically to pass out samples of the kingdom work. Now note carefully the Lord's specific instructions. These 12 did not dare to add to this message, even if they would have liked to have done so. They could not proclaim Jesus is Messiah and speak of the wonderful works he had done, though many of them realized that truth and probably would have loved to do so. They could not speak words that would offer people salvation. They were not to go out preaching sermons or teaching the Bible. No, what the Lord instructed them to do was to go to some public place, perhaps a busy crossroads, perhaps the common market in a city, a place of commerce or business. And they were to take their stand there and start to shout, "The kingdom of the heavens is at hand." Now, when they did this, every Jew knew the meaning of this term. They knew this meant God's own government. Now, if someone were to walk up to these shouting heralds and question their authority to say this, why, they would prove their claims by the miracles they were given the power to do: casting out demons, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, healing the sick. This was their commission, and they were told exactly what to say and what to do. Now, Sir Robert Anderson tells the story of an incident in the French Chamber, their Senate, basically, concerning trouble caused in a certain district through the general in command having communicated a war office order in his own words. When the Minister of War was challenged in Parliament for having punished him, he said, "He committed an offense, and I removed him." He paraphrased an order which it was his duty only to read. And that's the way it was with the Lord's orders to the 12. They were explicit. Now, I do not believe that these 12 paraphrased the Lord's words he gave them to herald. I don't believe that they padded their commission in order to proclaim a more spectacular message. No, they had accepted the call to submission to God with absolute sincerity. These 12 did not go forth with a salvation-bringing, life-giving message to all men everywhere without exception, as later interpreters try to claim. This was not their commission at that time. Like Peter said, only the Lord Jesus Christ had the privilege to proclaim salvation-bringing words of life during the time of his ministry. And these 12 were not sent out to do it. So Acts 28:28 declares the fact that the salvation-bringing message authorized to Israel previously is now made freely available to all nations, and it would get through to them. During the gospel period, only Jesus Christ had the words of aeonian life, as Peter states clearly in John 6. When he sent out his 12 in Matthew 10, he did not send them to take the salvation-bringing message to people, but only to proclaim the nearness of the kingdom of God. In our next program, we'll discuss how this continued from the Gospels to the Acts period in setting up our understanding of the Acts 28:28 dispensational change.
We must not take truths for today and force them into Scripture where they don't belong. The scope of the message that the Lord's disciples were proclaiming in the gospel period could not have been anything but what the Lord had commissioned them to proclaim. Spreading the gospel of salvation must wait until after the cross. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the Gentiles will hear. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the incredible apostles. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although we always appreciate your financial support, you will never be solicited for funds in any way when you write to us, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.